And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again. Everyone out there, it is the NFL Exporter, and you are listening to another edition of the Extra Point. We've got a great show lined up for you, as always. So definitely, first and foremost, sending a shout-out to all of my fantasy football owners out there who were able to make the playoffs this past week, and certainly hoping that everybody has had a successful week. I certainly hope that your games are ready to go full throttle here. I know a lot of people, myself included, definitely have some players involved in tonight's game between the Chicago Bears and New Orleans Saints. Plethora of guys, I'm quite sure. Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, Kenny Stills, Mark Ingram for the Chicago Bears, Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, as well as Alshon Jeffrey. And Martellus Bennett, I'm quite sure, is included in that equation as well. The call-in number to the show is 637-347. And you know what? I apologize. The call-in number to the show is 347-637-3220. Feel free to hit me up. I am here right up until game time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be ready to talk with you about any subjects or topics that you may have in mind. Just so you know what's going to happen today, we're going to recap, as we do each and every week, all of our action from Week 15 around the NFL, contrast to the predictions that were made by myself as well as Jerry Taylor on the Master Plan. We do that show each and every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. After we take a look at that, we're going to take a look at our studs and duds from this week. Let you know what to expect from those players coming up in Week 16. For many people, it's the championship round or the semifinals, or it may be a portion of your championship round, depending on what league you're in. So funny how that works out. In ESPN, Week 16 and 17 are a combined total for the championship round. NFL.com league, this is it. This is the championship round in Week 16 on Yahoo. This is just the semifinals, so certainly a lot of football left in that one. Also, you want to make sure you follow me on Twitter, at NFL Exporter. You also can send a friend request to me over on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. The spelling for both of those is NFLEXPORTER, and especially if you are a fantasy football owner, you want to make sure to send me a friend request over on Facebook. Very interactive, tons of fantasy football owners over there. Post to that page religiously. I leave a lot of good tidbits and information on that page for you during the week for you to comment and post on as well. We're going to run to a quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to start recapping our Week 15 games from around the NFL, so don't touch that dial. NFL Exporter, you are listening to The Extra Point.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports. Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FST himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Extra Point with your host, the NFL Exporter. Don't forget the call-in number to the show is 347-637-3220. I am here live with you right up until game time. Big Monday night football game. I know for a fact there are people with big-time implications in this one, myself included. In one of my leagues, I know that for a shot at the championship game, there is an owner who's down 16 points. He has Matt Forte going tonight. Very favorable matchup for him. Quite sure he likes his chances. In my Yahoo League, I am up 34 points. I still have Kenny Stills and Mark Ingram to play tonight. My opponent has Drew Brees and Marcus Wilson, the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. And so definitely a lot of playoff implications in this one tonight. A shot for many to advance to the next round is certainly on the line. Let's go ahead and jump into our Week 15 recap from around the NFL. Things got started with the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the Atlanta Falcons 27-20. In this game, I don't think it was any question that Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, the big three for the Pittsburgh Steelers, without question. I think next to DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, and Tony Romo certainly have been the top trio from any football team this year. I'm not one who's really high on picking the skill position players from each team, but I certainly think that this was the year where those odds were a little bit more favorable. Again, the reason I don't like to do that is because if your team has a bad game, then you got three players in your lineup having a bad game. But Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown have been bringing the goods all season long. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, definitely a bit of a disappointment yesterday, as he had 360 passing yards but did not throw a single touchdown. So that certainly stunted what he potentially could do. Matt Ryan, we thought he was an excellent play as well for the Atlanta Falcons, had 310 yards, two TDs, the one pick six. It really wasn't his fault. That was on wide receiver Harry Douglas for not running that route the way it needed to be ran. That was a pick six that went for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. When you look at the running back matchup here, you have Le'Veon Bell was held under 50 yards rushing, but he's such a talented player, dual threat, five catches for 72 yards out of the backfield. Did have a couple rushing touchdowns, so he continues to be a stud in fantasy football, especially at the running back position. Steven Jackson didn't fare so well, only had 46 yards rushing. When you look at the wide receiver, certainly the stats were there. Antonio Brown, another 10 catches, another 123 yards. The guy's just unbelievable. I think at this point it's a given every Sunday that this guy is going to produce the big numbers for your fantasy football team. When you look at the other side, one of our top waiver wire pickups this week was Harry Douglas for the Atlanta Falcons. As you know, Julio Jones did not play in this football game. You knew that Devin Hester was going to factor in. He had 85 yards and a touchdown. Rhody White also had 58 yards and a touchdown, but it was Harry Douglas who certainly did you a lot of justice in PPR league, especially 10 catches for 131 yards. Again, with Julio Jones being out of the lineup, very favorable matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense as a whole that has not played well this year. You knew this was going to be more of a up-tempo shootout type game, considering Atlanta's defense is one of the worst in the NFL. And so for those of you, myself included, who were able to pick up Harry Douglas and stick him in the lineup for a week, what an excellent benefit he was to your ball club. Give me a quick second here. We have Victor Gardner, who is going to be joining us on the show today. So give me a quick second. All right, we're trying to get him in here. Don't know what the okay, there he
is.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Mr. Victor Gardner? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well today, my friend. Just jumped on to catch up and be the co-host with the most.
Okay, definitely, definitely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead. We got a great show, a lot of stuff we want to get to today, so we're going to keep it pushing through these ball games because certainly everything that we're talking about in the show certainly is going to have a great impact. You'll see how that works out by the time that the show is over. Next, we had the New York Giants beat the Washington Redskins. The final score in that one was 24-13. In this game, I think it was pretty much what we expected and what me and Jerry had talked about on the show yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr., without question, was the man. He was able to rack up 12 catches for 143 yards, as well as three touchdown receptions. He actually had a fourth. Was not able to get his foot down, but came back later and rewarded owners anyway. And so he continues to be a top 10. A must-start every week. You knew playing the Redskins secondary. He had a big opportunity. I was certainly able to reap the benefits of him in my Yahoo League, so it was good seeing him do his thing. As I mentioned to you about Eli Manning, he was a guy. We're going to talk about him later on being one of our top waiver wire pickups this year, but this was the situation. If you could catch Eli Manning on the right weeks, certainly he was able to step in and do your lineup justice, 250 passing yards, three touchdown passes, all of those to Beckham. Outside of that, really not a lot of stats that were worthy. Robert Griffin III did come in, 236 yards and a passing TD. We all know the controversial rushing touchdown that really kind of changed the complexion of this ball game, where as he crossed the plane of the goal line, he did not have complete control of the football. I think this was the first time myself or anybody really seen that situation occur to where a player is actually, you know, over the goal line. I guess however it worked out, he did not have enough control. It's just a really wacky play and just really unfortunate. I think it really sums up RG3 in the Redskins season. When you looked at Rashard Jennings and Andre Williams on the ground, anytime when you start getting into these time splits, you like to stay away from them situations. We also know how well the Redskins run defense has played this year. And so Andre Williams and Rashard Jennings did nothing to help your fantasy football team at all. Also, we're going to talk about a little bit later. Alfred Morris was ineffective, suffered a hamstring injury, a groin injury. Don't know how serious it was in that one. Victor, again, not a lot of stats in this football game. We got a lot to cover today. Anything that fantasy owners should take away from the Giants in the Washington game yesterday?
Other than the fact that it broke my heart, two things. Rashard Jennings might have and quite possibly did kill a lot of people in their playoffs yesterday. One carry, 1 yard, done for the day. That could have been very, very detrimental to a lot of people in their fantasy playoffs. I am one of those people. Alfred Morris, again, in a favorable matchup, only has 14 rushes, 49 yards, dealing with a hamstring injury, but he played the whole game. I think when you're looking at both of these teams, own person, as you said, was Odell Beckham, that's worth anything to playoff bound fantasy owners. And I got a theory on that as well. Rashad Breeland, the Redskins' best corner, was used a little bit. He really was. I saw some home cooking, and that's not me being a biased Redskins fan. That's me saying I saw several plays, especially a pass interference call, where Beckham jumped into Breeland, and it was a very critical call. The touchdown with Robert Griffin III, I hate that rule because, yes, RG3 started to lose control of the ball going across the plane, and that's why they called it a non-touchdown. And it cost the Redskins in the end because the Giants did an onside kick from the Redskins' 30 because Santana Moss was flagged, then ejected. So 30-yard swing plus an onside kick, and they missed the call on that one. Fantasy owners of players of the Redskins' defense that was looking for a little bit of a push got screwed on that one because the ball did not hit the ground. And that should have been a catcher's interference call. But that's enough of me griping about it. I know you say you got a lot to go over, so I'll leave it alone after that.
All right, great. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game. You got the New England Patriots playing against the Miami Dolphins. And this one was all New England. I think this game went exactly how we thought it would go, with the exception of the stats. And so when you look at this ball game, Tom Brady has been consistent all year long, 287 yards, two touchdowns, an interception. Ryan Tannehill, on the other hand, we expected him to struggle, 346 yards, only one TD, two interceptions. When you take a look at the stats, Rob Gronkowski continues to be a big-time player, 96 yards, another touchdown. Julian Edelman was definitely the guy who I had a little bit higher on my radar this week just due to his quickness. You know that Miami has physical corners, so Edelman, definitely one of the quicker players in the NFL, getting in and out of cuts and things of that nature. Seven catches, 88 yards, a touchdown. On the other hand, when you look at the Miami Dolphins, it was Mike Wallace. Had one of the best catches this year. Nice one-hander, was able to keep his feet in the end zone. He had 104 yards and a touchdown. That was a bit of a surprise. Also, Jarvis Landry, that was the guy on the extra point who I identified as the guy who you likely wanted to start due to him working out of the slot. Had a nice eight catches for 99 yards. Also, LeGarrette Blount, he was the guy who many of us talked about this week. Had the touchdown. But Jonas Gray had the yards. Again, with the Patriots, it's, you never know what's going to happen. Jonas Gray had 11 carries, 62 yards. LeGarrette Blount, 8 carries, 17 yards, but did have the touchdown for 7 points. I think by now on New England's offense, you all know who to have in your lineup on a weekly basis. It really just depends on the matchup, really, as far as the passing game goes, whether you're going to go with LaFell or you're going to go with Edelman. For Miami, I think it's just completely up in the air. Victor, any notes for owners from the Miami and, Patriots game?
You got what you expected out of Gronkowski. Edelman, if you haven't noticed, he's taken over that role late in the season as the go-to guy. LaFell is not. He's a good play, but not always. On the opposite side, I just can't trust Mike Wallace. Even though that was a great catch, I can't trust Mike Wallace because I can't trust Ryan Tannehill. I do agree with you and Jerry on Jarvis Landry being the guy there. However, he didn't get the touchdown. With Joe Philbin doing what he's doing and not having the pulse of that team, he might be out of a job. Lamar Miller was a good, if you got him off the waiver wire or if you just filled him in, he gave you a few points. Not many, but he gave you a few points. This upcoming week might be an opportunity for him to give you some points if you advanced in your playoffs. That's it.
All right, good stuff there. Yeah, not a favorable matchup. You figure New England want to get revenge, wrap up that AFC East title. So you knew that, number one, New England's run defense has vastly improved since the first time they've seen Miami. Number two, if the game got out of hand, which it did in the second half, you knew that Miller was not going to be part of the equation. Moving on to Kansas City at Oakland, another game that I think after the Raiders game, when the Raiders originally beat Kansas City. This is the outcome that you thought would happen. But since that game, or I should say with that game included, Kansas City had gave up 178 rushing yards per contest over their last three games. The Raiders, Denver, and then Arizona. The Chiefs have been without Eric Berry. Defense has just been behind the curve, giving up 100 yards to Kerwin Williams, a no-name running back in Arizona last week. You also factor in the Jamal Charles, their top weapon. Status was up in the air with him. Really didn't know how much he was going to play coming into the game. He was supposed to get the full workload. Alex Smith and that offense can be very shaky. And don't get it twisted. Kansas City was only 3 out of 13 on third down conversions, but ultimately got things off to a great kickstart. I actually picked up their defense and special teams prior to the Raiders game for this matchup this week, but I lost faith in them. I ended up going with the Ravens defense. We'll talk about them a little bit later, but DeAnthony Thomas, rookie from Oregon, was able to take a punt back 81 yards to really get this game kickstarted. You know, the Kansas City's defense certainly played well, so they were a good fantasy pickup for you this week. When you take a look at what went on, Alex Smith, 297 yards, two TDs. Again, we're going to get into some stat-specific stuff a little bit later on in the show. When you're looking at the guys who really stood out in this one, though, it was Niles Davis, 81 total yards, and really 70 of those yards came on one TD reception. He did have a rushing touchdown as Jamal Charles had to leave the game. Suffered a pretty big blow around the goal line. He did pass the concussion protocol at the time, but really didn't feel it was a need to come back in the football game. Also, Travis Kelce, certainly expect to see him looming near the top 10 fantasy football tight ends next season. A rookie continues to play very well. 5 catches, 59 yards in the TD in that one. As far as Latavius Murray goes, he was a guy who we definitely advise owners that you wanted to sit after he lit up Kansas City the first time these two played. You knew that Kansas City was going to have him on their radar. Plus, you didn't think this was going to be a game that was going to be too close, so he wasn't going to factor in as well. Victor, anything fantasy owners should take away from the Kansas City-Oakland matchup?
Two things. If you saw the pregame for that one event, DraftKings, the actual one-day drafting site, they gave out advice on who to pick up, and Latavius Murray was one of them. He disappointed a lot of people. Don't look for him or any other Raider to give you any fantasy points coming into your playoffs the last couple of weeks of the NFL season. He might get touches, more touches, but I don't see him doing that strong of a deal there. Also, if you were banking on Jamal Charles in your fantasy playoffs as your number one guy, you might be in trouble. This is the second week in a row that he's gone down to some sort of injury and not able to complete a game or give you the production that you want. So I would be a little bit careful with getting him into – well, you got to put him in your lineup, but don't expect much from him. Look elsewhere, in my opinion. I'm quite sure that Lance is going to talk about the pitiful quarterback play this past week, which could have killed a lot of people in fantasy. But Alex Smith is one of those guys that did decently this week. He did better than, you know, your big boys. He did better than Aaron Rodgers and a few others. So that's what I got from that game. But I wouldn't bank on Alex Smith taking me further next week if I were in that situation.
All right, great. Let's move on to the Colts and the Texans. And low-scoring affair here. But, again, if you understand this time of year, and I think that's something that fantasy owners certainly have to factor in, is, number one, these division games, especially the second time around, the team that lost is probably going to be a lot more familiar with their opponent in this matchup. And then this time of year, with a lot of teams still trying to get in the playoffs, these games are going to be a little bit more closer than anticipated. So in this game here, Andrew Luck was one of those quarterbacks who didn't particularly play that well, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. DeAndre Hopkins, 5 catches, 77 yards. Arian Foster, 26 carries, 99 yards. Not a lot of stats in this one. Dwayne Allen had a touchdown for the Colts. I forget who it was. I have to look that up in a second to see who got the other touchdown for the. Oh, it was Hakeem Nicks. So obviously, he probably didn't do too many people any justice there. Again, this was a game where Indianapolis defense was one of my waiver wire pickups of the week. I know there was a guy on Facebook I advised he was going to play Green Bay's defense. I told him playing at home against Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Colts defense plays well at home. Probably was a more favorable matchup, especially if they could contain Arian Foster. Only had to focus on DeAndre Hopkins. Fitzpatrick ended up leaving that game, and his season is done with an injury. And so for those of you who have the Ravens defense, myself included, and we're a little bit on the fence about playing them next week at Houston. Now I have heard that Houston has went out and signed Case Keenum. He was there last year. They grabbed him off the Rams practice squad. But I think that now the Ravens defense possibly has a little bit more firepower. Again, their offense plays into their situation a little more. We're going to talk about them a little bit more later. But, again, not too many stats. I think the biggest thing that I have advised fantasy owners were when Ryan Fitzpatrick had the 6-touchdown game against Tennessee a couple weeks ago, I just had to quickly remind owners that this is a guy who was benched due to his poor play. Prior to that game, he had 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He's a guy who's definitely proven to be turnover prone. And you've seen the following week for DeAndre Hopkins as well as that offense really struggled in the passing game at Jacksonville. That defense is playing much better. And then yesterday at Indianapolis. And so Fitzpatrick is gone now, but now you're looking at DeAndre Hopkins, not only Andre Johnson, how their production can get affected. And at this point, the Houston Texans are all but pretty much done in the playoff race. In my opinion, I think Arian Foster is probably the only guy that you want to play with confidence. The Ravens secondary is weak, and of course we're going to talk about that when we get to the master plan this Sunday. But really nothing too much to take from this game. I just think it was an AFC South battle. You have two teams very familiar with each other. Houston definitely was trying to make a push to stay in the wild card race. So I don't think that you worry about Andrew Luck or T.Y. Hilton and those guys. But I do think that Boom Heron is certainly starting to distance himself. I know that head coach Chuck Pagano does not want to commit to him or did not want to commit to him prior to coming in this game. But ever since Heron has been in the lineup, call it what you want, but he's outrushed Trent Richardson every single game. And I think it's time. I think that Boom Heron has earned that starting spot. Could have a favorable matchup this week playing at Dallas. We're going to talk about DeMarco Murray a little bit later because he got injured. He's highly in doubt for this week's game. But, Victor, anything, 17-10, again, two familiar foes. These teams battle it out all the time. I think Houston really just laid it all on the line to try to stay in a wild card hunt.
Again, if you're looking at Andrew Luck as your savior. Andrew Luck has the most pick sixes this year of any quarterback. He might not be that guy for you going into your playoffs. He's going to get you some yards, but you got to deal with it. He might be that Cutler, the smart version of Cutler, for the rest of this season, meaning he's going to give up the ball a few times, and then he's going to right the ship and get you maybe 300 yards passing. Boom Heron, disappointing. Last couple weeks, I'm not going to say it's all his fault, but maybe some of the play calling there. I'm not worried about him, but T.Y., that's a big disappointment for a lot of people this past week. Disappointment, because they were banking on him, along with Moncrief. Some people were saying, and Jerry's one of them, get Moncrief over Hakeem, or get Moncrief over other receivers that were going out this week, and I disagreed with them. But that could have hurt a lot of people yesterday as well. So I think Moncrief had one reception. I also told everybody to get Dwayne Allen. He's going to cut into a lot of those touches. So that was a possibility for folks to look at yesterday as well as the last two games of the season. If you look at Houston, they're going to go as their quarterback goes. You have a rookie quarterback coming in, Savage, who knows the system, and then they went and got whoever off of the street to come fill in. But Arian Foster can't carry the mail that many times and continue to be productive without the help of Hopkins, without the help of Andre Johnson, who I believe had a concussion and didn't finish the game. But they're not worth anything. J.J. Watt is the only thing, because he scored more touchdowns than the receiving core, well, not the receiving core, but the main receiver of the Texans. Not a good look. Not a good look. And I wouldn't get either defense in the fantasy playoffs. Other than that, not much to say about this game except don't hang your hat on anyone on either of these teams for your fantasy playoffs. That's it, Lance.
All right, great. Let's move on. Baltimore beat Jacksonville 20-12. And, again, Ravens defense special teams. And if you stay tuned, as soon as we push through these games, we're going to look at the studs and duds from this week to see what went wrong and can you trust them next week and moving forward. But this one was all about the Ravens defense. I picked them up probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago for this matchup right here. Once I lost faith in Kansas City, I also had the 49ers defense. Lost faith in them. I knew that going to Seattle wasn't going to be a good matchup. So to my surprise, when I went to the free agent wire, I seen the Ravens defense there. While everybody else was picking up offensive players, I grabbed Connor Barth and I grabbed the Ravens defense, and it paid off for me big time. Loved it when I turned on my matchup yesterday, and I already seen the Ravens defense with 23 points. Got started great. Blocked the punt, ran it in for a touchdown, ended up with 8 sacks and an interception on Blake Bortles. You knew. And this was one of my top starts of the week across the board on all my various shows and websites, what may have you. It was obvious. We told you coming into this game yesterday that Blake Bortles in only 11 starts at 16 interceptions. You know, with Denard Robinson not being in the lineup, Ravens stout against the run anyway. This one just had Ravens written all over it. So they were our top defense. Again, we're going to cover them here in a moment. The disappointment, though, certainly is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, as you heard me say on this show yesterday, don't be surprised if it was this type of ball game because, number one, Gus Bradley has done an excellent job with Jacksonville's defense the second half of the year. They are not as easy to score points on and dominate how they were at the beginning of the year. And then if by now, as much of a shame as it is, Joe Flacco is inconsistent. And, ladies and gentlemen, he's in his seventh year. Five out of his first 6 years going deep into the playoffs, and then he's winning a Super Bowl, yet he is still inconsistent at the quarterback position. Just doesn't make any sense at all. So I certainly told you to taper your expectations. I had people asking me about Steve Smith Sr. I told him as poor as Jacksonville's secondary is, it just was not a favorable matchup. Steve Smith has been inconsistent as well. He's here 1 week. He's not here the next. I think the biggest disappointment from this one, though, was Justin Forsett. Now, again, Jacksonville's defense, very well. But 16 carries for only 48 yards have been one of the stronger running back twos throughout the course of the season. That was a huge disappointment there. But Baltimore got the win. Again, not a lot of stats in this one. Victor, anything that owners should take away from this Baltimore-Jacksonville matchup?
Don't trust anybody on either team for your fantasy playoffs. I mean, that's the bottom line. Don't trust Flacco. Don't trust Steve. Definitely don't trust Torrey. And maybe that defense did perform this week, but I guarantee you it was special teams that pulled them through. 8 sacks versus Jacksonville is nothing new. The Redskins got 10. Other than that, there's nothing there. Toby Gerhart couldn't even run through a wall of toilet paper, so don't even try to get him as a fill-in from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Alan Hearns did well. Other than that, Cecil Shorts was not worth anything, and neither was Mercedes Lewis. So, again, I have nothing much to say other than don't count on these people for anything this week, next week, or even next year. Maybe next year, but not this year. That's it.
All right, great. Let's move on to Buffalo and Green Bay. This was my upset special of the day, and the Bills were able to come through and win this ball game. I thought they could win it. I certainly thought that they could cover the point spread. And, again, if you know anything about football, it's just about trends. The Packers hadn't lost in about 2 months. Bills defense playing extremely confident after playing Peyton Manning so tough the week before. They were back at home. And to be quite honest, Green Bay's defense and special teams really doesn't play that well. And so, you know, this one had Buffalo written all over it. The upset special of the day came through. Again, we're going to get in-depth with the quarterbacks and the players who did not perform well yesterday. We're just running through these games, really talking about me and Jerry's predictions from the master plan right now. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers off 17 out of 42, 185 yards. no touchdowns, two interceptions. We're going to talk about Jordy Nelson later, dropped a big play which would have got him over 100 yards, possibly a touchdown, and maybe changed the complexion of that game. But from a stat standpoint, I know Eddie Lacy owners are happy. That was a key decision he had to make. And that's the thing that you hate about with these injuries. It's so cloudy coming into the game. You don't know whether to start a guy or whether to sit him. Anyway, Lacy had 97 yards and a touchdown, made it worth your while there. Kyle Orton continues to struggle. Along with his struggles are Sammy Watkins, only one catch for 28 yards. After Watkins had those back-to-back huge games against Minnesota and the Jets, he has just completely disappeared off the face of the earth. He should not be in your lineups until necessary. Again, he did, had seven catches for 127 last week, but just too unpredictable. Fred Jackson continues to be the workhorse there, but the Bills' offensive line has not really opened up any major holes throughout the course of the season. Randall Cobb had a good game, 96 receiving yards, also gave you 10 rushing yards. Again, briefly, Victor, because we are going to talk about the players in all of these games who struggled or succeeded. Anything of importance, notice that Green Bay or Buffalo, fantasy owners of a Green Bay or Buffalo player should take away. And just real quick, big-time shout-out to that Buffalo Bills defense, which is the best in the NFL right now. I don't care what anybody says. If you can hold Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers in consecutive weeks to not a single TD pass, not over 200 yards passing, and four interceptions, you are balling the hell out. They also chipped in a special teams touchdown. Big-time shout-out to the Bills defense. Man, those guys are playing lights out right now. Very, very favorable matchup next week at Oakland. Go ahead, Victor. Green Bay and Buffalo.
Well, you talked about it. I actually picked up Blake Bortles in case I wanted to change my mind and take Aaron Rodgers out because of what Buffalo did to Peyton Manning last week. And Jordy Nelson dropped three passes. One was a touchdown that went through his hands. The second was a possible touchdown where he was wide open. And the third was a touchdown where he was, well, a possible large gain, possible touchdown where he was wide open. Hit him right in the hands. That hurt. So fantasy owners, this week, if you were bitten by the bug like I was playing Aaron Rodgers, I'm sorry, it's nothing I can tell you because I had the same trap. Actually, Blake Bortles performed better than Aaron Rodgers last week. As far as Buffalo goes, their defense is the best thing going. I don't endorse Fred Jackson. I don't endorse Booby, since you don't want to call Bobby, but Booby Dixon, Callum, or any of those guys because I don't trust them. But that defense is for real. A blocked field goal, a sack fumble, strip safety. Their defense is balling out. So you can trust that their defense with the last two games of the season are going to continue to perform for you, fantasy owners, and taking the playoffs. That might be the difference in you winning your fantasy game and advancing and losing. I said it last week. Saturday, kickers and defenses at this point in time are very, very valuable in your fantasy playoffs. And Buffalo is proving me right. That's all I got, Lance.
All right, real quickly, I'm going to push through these last couple games here because we are a little pressed for time. Got about maybe 50 minutes left of showtime. Like I said, we want to make sure get to the meat and potatoes, talk about the studs and duds, what you can expect moving forward. And then we're also going to cover your top waiver wire pickups and late-round picks for this year. It was Carolina edging Tampa Bay 17-16 in that game. Derek Anderson, we're going to talk about him. He's in the top five quarterbacks this week. I think it's very interesting how he played 277 yards in the TD, was able to find Greg Olsen 10 times for 110 yards, was able to find Kelvin Benjamin 5 times for 104 yards. Doug Martin had 96 rushing yards for a lot of owners, got stuck with him starting off this weekend. He was able to come out, didn't get the touchdown to fully bust it open, but you'll certainly take the 9 yards there. Josh McCown, as I told you, turnovers are definitely his middle name, 154, a touchdown, an interception. And so, we're going to talk about Calvin Benjamin in our next segment as well. Moving on, Cincinnati beat down Cleveland. The biggest mistake that myself and Jerry made yesterday, we talked about it via text messages, we did not recommend the Cincinnati Bengals defense. I myself never had any faith whatsoever in Johnny Manziel. And again, it's nothing personal. But from a football standpoint, he was not able to beat out Brian Hoyer in the preseason. And he cannot deliver from the pocket. He's a short quarterback. And, you know, being thrown into a game to where the other team is fighting for the playoffs as well, it just wasn't a healthy situation. So that is our fault for not recommending the Bengals defense, who was available just about on every single waiver wire that you could imagine being possible. They got him for 2 interceptions, 3 sacks, pitched a shutout, so big points there. Jeremy Hill was able to really catapult myself and a lot of owners yesterday. As soon as, and if you recall, earlier in the week on Twitter, on Facebook, I posted that as nice as it is for Cleveland and, for Cincinnati to have 2 good running backs in Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill, it really wasn't doing either one of those guys, or the Bengals for that matter, any justice, because nobody was able to get any rhythm going. How about the next day? Hugh Jackson is coming out saying he would like to lean on one of those guys. No later before that day is over, Hugh Jackson is saying he's going to go with Jeremy Hill, and I think it's the right call. 135 rushing yards, a couple of touchdowns. The guy's an absolute stud. This is the third, and I apologize, he had 148 rushing yards. This is the third game in his 6 starts this year where he's up over 140 yards rushing. So the guy is the absolute truth, A.J. Green. We're going to talk about him. Another hard day at the office. Andy Dalton continues to just be a bum, flat out. 117 yards through an interception, just continues to just mess things up for the Bengals, but a blowout there for them. New York and Jets in Tennessee, everybody knew better. You should not have had a single person from either one of these teams in your game. The stats that were notable, Eric Decker had 7 catches for 100 yards. Jerry did mention Nate Washington really being the only guy who had some rapport with Jake Locker, who ended up leaving the game, had 6 catches for 102 yards. But if you had a Jet or a Titan in, you had to be desperate. I don't think any playoff team should have had any of those guys in their lineups. Denver knocked off San Diego 22-10. Trend continues for Phillip Rivers. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in depth in our next segment. 232 yards, a TD, 2 interceptions, continue to struggle against the top defenses in the NFL. Peyton Manning, a disappointment as well, 233 yards, a touchdown. The guys who really balled out in this one, Connor Barth, we're going to talk about him. 4 for 4 out of field. Not missed a single field goal since he came over from the since Denver picked him up off the waiver wire. He connected on 4 out of 4, had 18 points. Marius Thomas, 6 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. He's a big-time stud for San Diego, continuing to struggle running the football. If you picked up Brandon Oliver, Donald Brown really didn't do much of anything for you. Our last couple games, Detroit barely squeaked by Minnesota. I can tell you firsthand the reason that they struggled so much. Detroit, 2 out of 11 on third down conversion, so they weren't on the football field enough to be effective. Calvin Johnson was a huge disappointment. We're going to talk about him. Matthew Stafford, the same holds true. Drake Bell, really the Detroit offense was just stuck in mud yesterday. Golden Tate had the 1 TD catch, but he couldn't even get double digits with that. For Minnesota, really nothing to take away. I think we all know the situation there. They're more of a young team just trying to make things happen. Detroit's defense special team obviously made it happen. 2 interceptions and a blocked field goal. You know that they're a strong bet at home. Seattle and San Francisco, I think the obvious happened there. Marshawn Lynch had 91 rushing yards and a touchdown. Seattle's defense had 6 sacks. 49ers defense had 5 sacks. Russell Wilson did throw an interception. So really, San Francisco's defense really outscored Seattle's defense from a fantasy standpoint. But again, the 49ers often so pathetic, just could not do anything that was worthwhile there. Anquan Boldin and Michael Crabtree continue to struggle in these matchups, both combined for 5 catches, 42 yards, absolutely abysmal. You knew better than Colin Kaepernick being in your lineup. We advised you weeks ago as the playoffs approach, talking about players you can trust. We had Eagle Mike on the show. Me and Victor spoke about it. Everybody knew that this 49ers offense could not be trusted in the playoffs. And if you were foolish enough to have them in last week at Oakland or this week at Seattle, shame on you. Did nothing for your ball club. Final game of the night, certainly had a lot of stats there. It was Dallas knocking off Philadelphia in that game. Mark Sanchez, and I'm quite sure that'll be for some other football shows, but his true colors certainly starting to reveal themselves after his wonderful start against the Sorry Panthers at home. He's now thrown 2 interceptions in every single game since. His inaccuracy with the football downfield continues to be a problem. That's why the Jets let him go. Tony Romo, on the other hand, had a couple owners ask me, should they start Romo this week? Absolutely. 265, three TDs, all of those to the beast. Dez Bryant, 114 yards, three TDs. DeMarco Murray pumped in 81 tough yards on the ground, two touchdowns. Obviously, yeah, we're going to talk about him because, again, he's probably not going to play this week. Jason Witten stepped in, seven catches, 69 yards. I told everybody Dallas really felt that was a game they just blew. We're going to come out focused with the division on the line, so you knew that their big guys were going to show up. Jeremy Maclin, four catches, 98 yards. Shady McCoy, 16 carries, 64 yards. We're going to talk about McCoy as well because I just think it's flat-out disrespect. I took to Twitter and Facebook last night, and it's tough getting yards in the NFL as is. You got to keep your players motivated. And for whatever reason, Chip Kelly decides to use Carlos Pope and Darren Sproles instead of letting LeSean McCoy get those touchdowns. But that was about it. We're going to run to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your studs and duds from this week, most of those players who we talked about in those games. We're going to go a little bit more in depth. So stay tuned. It's The Extra Point, NFL exporter Victor Gardner. We're going to run to a quick commercial break, come back, and get right back into the action.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, everybody, welcome back to The Extra Point. We're going to keep it pushing. We got about 40 minutes until game time again. I know a lot of fantasy owners out there have Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Jimmy Graham, Kenny Stills, a lot of big game names in this one tonight. Now what we're going to do is take a look at our studs and duds at each position. Again, we got 40 minutes, so we're definitely going to be concise and to the point. And what we want to do is tell you about these players. Most importantly, can you trust them in next week's matchup, which for most people is the championship or the beginning of your championship push? The top five quarterbacks from yesterday were Eli Manning with 22, Tony Romo with 20, Alex Smith with 20, Matty Ice with 20, Tom Brady with 18, Derek Anderson of the Panthers with 16. Your duds were Russell Wilson with 14, Andrew Luck with 14, Peyton Manning with 12, Matt Stafford with 10, Russell Wilson with 10, Ben Roethlisberger had 14, Andrew Luck had 14, Manning had 12, Matt Stafford 10, Russell Wilson 10, Phillip Rivers 9, Mark Sanchez 6, Aaron Rodgers 5, and not that he wasn't of importance, but just to continue highlighting how poor he's playing, Andy Dalton only 2 points. Victor, let's first quickly attack the studs. Let's take one apiece again. Eli Manning, 22, Romo with 20, Alex Smith with 20, Matty Ice with 20, Tom Brady with 18, Derek Anderson with 16. I'm going to start off with Derek Anderson with those 16. And to me, just the real interesting thing is that I don't know if Derek Anderson is a better quarterback than Cam Newton this year. I don't know if the offensive line is blocking better for Derek Anderson. I don't know if it's because the two games for Derek Anderson have been against Tampa Bay. I don't know if defenses are playing Carolina differently when Derek Anderson is in the lineup. But for whatever reason, when Derek Anderson has played twice this year, and mind you, both games have been against Tampa Bay, he has had no problem at all moving the football down the football field. Got it to Olsen yesterday, 10 for 110. Got it to Benjamin yesterday, 5 for 104. Derek Anderson likely is going to play next week as well, much tougher matchup. Game is at home against Cleveland. Now, Joe Hayden got a bit banged up, so I certainly think that's going to factor in. If he's on Kelvin Benjamin, Benjamin's not a guy with a lot of speed, so you probably won't have too much trust there. But Derek Anderson is a guy who just has amazed me in his two starts this year because he's played much more effective than Cam Newton. Again, I think a home game at Cleveland. The other interesting part of this now, though, is Johnny Manziel is going to be starting again. So let me just throw it out there while it's on the top of my head. Carolina's defense should be of high interest to you. Things are not going to change that much in a week for Johnny Manziel. And because Carolina is going to have so many more opportunities, Derek Anderson could be a solid play. Also, quick trinket for you. This is his former team, and you know how some guys play against their former team, little extra motivation. Victor, out of those studs there, Eli, Romo, Alex Smith, Matty Ice, Tom Brady, which one of those guys do you feel you can definitely trust next week?
Well, first things first, I'm going to tell you, Derek Anderson was a former Pro Bowler. So you give him time, you give him a line, he can perform. So he's one of the guys I picked up in FanDuel and DraftKings because he's cheap and he will perform. As far as the guys that outperformed what we thought or what I thought they were going to do this week, passing Matty Ice. Didn't expect him to go for what he did without Julio Jones against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Yes, Pittsburgh's defense is not as good as it used to be, but I did not expect Matty Ice to throw for 300-plus and a few touchdowns against Pittsburgh with Devin Hester and Harry Douglas starting. I didn't expect that. I thought he was going to be maybe a 200-yard passer, and, they're going to hand the ball off to Steven Jackson all day. But I was wrong. Matty Ice is a performer given circumstances. You put him in the right circumstances, he can perform. If it's a little disarray, he melts a little bit. So out of all the guys that I saw, I think that he can perform the same next week with Roddy White and Harry Douglas and Devin Hester making an appearance again. I think he might be somebody you can use next week besides Derek Anderson. I don't trust Romo versus the Colts defense, even though I don't think that it's going to be that big of a deal. But DeMarco Murray is not going to play. I don't think he's going to play. That's just my opinion. So Romo, to me, is not going to be worth it in the long run. So that's what I got, brother.
Okay, and you know what? And I agree with you there. I think that Julio Jones should be back healthy. Next week they play at New Orleans. We all know how poor their secondary is. I think Matty Ice, out of those guys that you mentioned, is certainly a guy who's had his struggles throughout the year, but you can definitely trust. Moving on, and then Tom Brady as well. They play the Jets next week, so he's another guy. Now moving on to those disappointments, and that was a long list. When I said Ben Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers, Mark Sanchez, Aaron Rodgers, and Andy Dalton, all of those quarterbacks could not reach 15 points. Who are you the most disappointed in yesterday? And out of those quarterbacks that I mentioned, who do you think you may want to consider maybe looking a different route based on matchup, and it is a championship game? You definitely want to go in trying to get every single point that you can.
Well, you know, of course, my big disappointment is Aaron Rodgers because I needed him to put up solid numbers for me this week so I can advance to the semifinals. He just outperformed the guy that I was going against. A guy you didn't mention, Phillip. I'll say Phillip is a guy that I think you might want to steer clear from because of his schedule, things of that nature. But Aaron Rodgers to me was the biggest disappointment because of the need and the fact that he was drafted probably in the second or third round by a lot of people or kept by a lot of people from last year just for this purpose, to get to the playoffs and win in the playoffs. And it's going to hurt. Andy Dalton, I'm steering clear of him. Why? Because Cincinnati is looking to run the rock and run it hard. He's not going to perform that much. That hurts A.J. Green. That hurts Mohamed Sanu. That hurts Giovanni. Giovanni even ran the ball, I think it was 15 times, 79 yards. Hill ran the ball, I think, for 138. That doesn't mean a lot of passing for Andy Dalton. So, yeah, I would steer clear of him and quite possibly Phillip Rivers.
All right, sounds good. Real quickly for myself, the guys who I definitely am looking to rebound, Andrew Luck playing at Dallas, Matt Stafford playing at Chicago, Aaron Rodgers at home against Tampa Bay. You definitely know that those guys are going to rebound in a big way. And to Aaron Rodgers' credit, we deal with reality, but again, that Jordy Nelson touchdown, potential touchdown, certainly could have bolstered his stats quite a bit. The guys who I'm skeptical on, Russell Wilson, going out to play at Arizona, you know, their defense is going to bring it. Peyton Manning got a bit nicked up yesterday. Last couple of weeks have not been converting that highly in the red zone. They play at Cincinnati. And then also Phillip Rivers, you hit it on the head, playing at San Francisco, and the 49ers defense is certainly not the issue. So I would not be trusting those guys there. Let's move it over to our running backs, the top performers, Jeremy Hill for the Bengals, 26, Le'Veon Bell with 23, DeMarco Murray with 20, Now Davis with 20, Eddie Lacy with 16, Marshawn Lynch with 15. Taking a look at those studs who bought out yesterday, just real quick, Jeremy Hill, again, big-time performer. As soon as I knew that he was starting, I put him in my Yahoo. I'm so grateful I held on to him. Came through, him and ODB on that team. Really triggered things for me yesterday. Definitely Now Davis. That was a tricky play because, again, coming into that game, Jamal Charles was supposed to get the full workload, and it was really the 170-yard TD reception that made Miles Davis this day. But as Victor mentioned to you, Jamal Charles a little banged up lately. Next week at Pittsburgh, I think it's just tricky. You know, if Jamal Charles is healthy, he does get the full workload. But now with a concussion, swollen knee, ankle, getting a big banged up, who knows what Miles Davis is going to do. Eddie Lacy was a pleasant surprise. You didn't expect him to get 97 yards against the Bills' run defense. Two major points of emphasis I want to point out here is, number one, we mentioned DeMarco Murray had 20 points. He is getting surgery today. So it is very, 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 very likely that he's not going to play. The only reason that I think there is a shadow, there's a small piece of me that says he could play, number one, he does want to reach 2,000 yards. He's got about maybe 300 yards to go. So a couple games with a 150 to end the season would get him to 2,000. Also, Dallas needs him. I think this is a game that certainly the Colts coming in, very, very crucial opponent. And if Dallas loses this game and Philadelphia wins, then Philly's right back in the driver's seat. So, you know, I think this is a game they need Murray in the event that he can't go. Randall is his backup. We mentioned to you Now Davis, perhaps even Jeremy Hill, even though I doubt it might have been on your waiver wire. But this is the point that I wanted to bring up real quick before we bring Victor on. When we look at our top duds of the week, and I'm not going to go through all of them right away, but LeSean McCoy had 6 points yesterday. And the difference this year between a DeMarco Murray and a LeSean McCoy is this. Yesterday, even though Murray had 81 tough yards on the ground, he got the carries inside of the 10-yard line and was able to convert that into two touchdowns to bump him up to 20 points, or else he would have had 8. LeSean McCoy, on the other hand, this year has 4 rushing touchdowns. Darren Sproles now has 6 after yesterday. Carlos Polk also has 3, which is meaning LeSean McCoy has a potential 9 touchdowns that he could have partaken in that he no longer has. And I just thought it was a real disrespect to Shady McCoy. It's tough getting yards in the NFL. Very difficult. Don't underestimate. These great players, it's not easy. And when you've got a player struggling like Shady McCoy or not having a year that he has had in the past, you want to get this guy into the end zone to keep him motivated and keep his team fired up. And that's been the difference in Shady McCoy this year and why owners are not getting what they paid for. Le'Veon Bell, same thing. Le'Veon Bell only had 47 yards rushing yesterday. But guess what? Le'Veon Bell had 5 catches for 72 yards and 2 touchdowns inside of the 10-yard line. Shady McCoy, he's not getting those goal line carries. So if you add on 12 points to McCoy, he's in the top 5 with 18, but instead – his coach, for whatever reason, and I look at this stuff as personal. That's how I'm taking it. To me, it's a slap in the face. It's a slight that you don't let your star running back score a short touchdown. You cannot explain the logic to me behind that. For Carlos Polk, I understand Sproles a little, but you've got to get your star player into the end zone. I just think it's really a slap in the face and a huge part as to why Shady McCoy owners have not gotten what they paid for this year. Victor, I'm just going to kick it over to the duds because time is certainly starting to factor in. Your duds yesterday, Isaiah Crowell with 2 points. Alfred Morris, he's another guy we mentioned. His stock has certainly been going down, 4 points. Left in the second half with a growing injury, did not return. Justin Forsett with 4 points. Jamal Charles with five. Jonathan Stewart coughed up one, so he ended with five. Latavius Murray with six. And then Shady McCoy with six. Out of those disappointments there, your duds at the running back position, who was your biggest disappointment, and what players? Again, Crowell, Al Morris, Justin Forsett, Jamal Charles, John Stewart, Latavius Murray, Shady McCoy. Who was your biggest disappointment, and who should owners be thinking about maybe looking for some other options for Week 16?
Again, McCoy and Stewart. I'll be very honest with you. I was expecting Stewart to have a much better game going against that sorry Tampa Bay defense. But you just outlined why I'm worried about McCoy. He's getting, I guess, vultured left and right, which does not happen to help you, me, or anybody else that had picked him number one, number two, number three overall. Because, again, this is why you picked him. Next week or this Saturday, he goes against the Redskins defense. Historically, he's done well. They're not going to run the ball. They're going to throw the ball. And he might have some value there. But I caution folks on, using him for the next couple games only because of the lineup he's got to face. Philly has an easier schedule going into next year, going into the last two games, because they're going to play the Giants and they're going to play the Redskins. However, I caution you guys, look at what happened last night and what that can do to you in your playoffs, especially if you're leaning on him to win it all. On the other side, Jonathan Stewart, he came back. I thought he was going to do well. He did not. Not somebody I'm going to focus in on the next couple weeks. That's it.
All right, great. For myself, I'm looking at Isaiah Crowell with Johnny Manziel, and obviously teams are going to stack the box. No fear of him pushing the ball down the field. You got to watch for Alfred Morris again. Philly this week, they're tough against the run. They held DeMarco Murray under 90 yards in both of those matchups, not by coincidence there, so you want to watch that. Victor also mentioned Latavius Murray. Again, just not sold on him at all, period. I knew he wasn't going to perform that well yesterday. And then Justin Forsett. Again, Houston's run defense is the strength of their team, so be careful there. Our studs at the wide receiver position, Odell Beckham Jr. with 30, Dez Bryant with 29, Demaryius Thomas 18, Mike Wallace 16. You had Devin Hester and Julian Edelman tied with 14 points to round out our top five there. Guys, I were most impressed with, I guess it's kind of obvious, but Beckham Jr. just continues to just be a beast out there. The guy's averaging like 8 catches for a buck, 20 in 6 straight games, so he's just on a tear right now. Dez Bryant just abused whoever this Fletcher kid was at defensive back yesterday. And Demaryius Thomas, what else can you say about this guy? He's just a top-flight elite wide receiver in this league. Any shots to you there, Victor? Those top five, again, I think ODB, Dez Bryant, DeMarco, Demaryius Thomas were obvious choices. Mike Wallace popped in with 16. Devin Hester and Julian Edelman both with 14. Edelman was certainly a guy we highlighted on the extra point with the quickness matchup against Miami's physical defense. And Devin Hester was the other choice for Julio Jones outside of Harry Douglas.
Of course I'm going to say Devin Hester. We were a little bit on him at the beginning of the year, and as I said, I would not bank on him, I'm not following him, and sure enough, they stopped using him. Came in yesterday and surprisingly turned it out. Harry Douglas is that guy going forward, though, the next few weeks, that seems to be the only healthy guy in the Falcons' second receiving core that might be a little consistent for you. But Hester is definitely the guy that stands out to me as the one you just said, maybe not. I don't know. You're not sure. So that's my selection for you.
All right. I think a bigger interest certainly here is the list of wide receivers I'm about to call off. And there were a ton of guys on this list that you had to make some key decisions about. I'm talking about Josh Gordon. With Johnny Manziel starting, I sat Josh Gordon yesterday, and I advise owners to do the same. A.J. Green, I advise owners to sit him. Look, yeah, I know it's hard to sit your studs. I know that anything can happen. You don't like the pattern right now. If you look at what A.J. Green has done the past 2 years against the Browns, he's done absolutely nothing. But it's the reality of the situation, whether it has to do with Andy Dalton being a poor quarterback, Joe Hayden being a good defensive back, the Browns just understanding what the Bengals want to do in their passing game. You had a decision to make there. Jordy Nelson was another guy. Now, obviously, he was his own worst enemy, but playing against the Bills' defense, it wasn't favorable. Anytime you have a defense that can play well, Jordy was just off of a 162 two-touchdown game. I just thought that Randall Cobb, especially considering how it was Wes Welker, not Emmanuel Sanders. It wasn't the outside receivers the week before that had the most yards against Buffalo. It was their slot receiver. That's why I told people to go with if you had Cobb over Jordy yesterday, although, again, he killed his own owners. And then DeAndre Hopkins, he was another guy. I just said with Andre Johnson being out, Colts defense at home has played well this year, especially against opposing wide receivers. Got a shaky quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, he did get 7 points, so I respect that. 77 yards, you know, for me, if you're at a skill position, at least give me 70 yards worth of work. I understand it's the NFL. You're not going to shine every week. Mike Evans only had 7. It was a 13-yard TD catch. He is certainly starting. You like that he gets the touchdowns, but his yardage is starting to take a huge plummet. And then, obviously, your three biggest disappointments yesterday were T.Y. Hilton, only 5 points. Again, he had 224 yards against Houston the first time, so I kind of respect it. They just said, you're going to have to figure out somebody else to beat us today. Calvin Johnson, though, I mean, come on, against Minnesota. I mean, I understand that Minnesota's defense as well. You've heard me give Mike Zimmer a lot of praise. But Calvin Johnson, 23 of those 53 yards came on one play. So, I mean, I don't get that. And to be honest, Calvin killed me this year. Him and Julius Thomas in my ESPN league absolutely killed me. The other guy, Emmanuel Sanders, you certainly thought he would have had a little bit more paper against the San Diego Chargers. Long list of guys there, Victor. Again, Josh Gordon, A.J. Green, T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, Jordy Nelson, Calvin Johnson, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins. Take your pick of the litter. Who's your most disappointing? Maybe you had a couple guys there. And who should owners be worried about moving forward? We are down to about 20 minutes, so keep that in mind.
I'll tell you, a guy you didn't mention, Keenan Allen. That's what I'm worried about, especially if you draft him and you kept him on your team, thinking he's going to do something against Denver because he has a high average versus Denver. Now, T.Y., big, big disappointment in the playoffs. But my biggest disappointment right now would be Keenan Allen, because he's having a sophomore slump that's killing everybody. T.Y. probably got some people knocked out of the playoffs yesterday. But other than that, you know, it's status quo for some of those folks. You said Josh Gordon for good reason. You didn't know what Manziel was going to do. Calvin Johnson, if you listen to Jerry and I on Saturday, we mentioned that Minnesota has a very good pass defense, very decent against the run. They're not that bad. So I expected him to not perform that well. You know, there are some things there that you got to consider. But my two big guys, T.Y. and Keenan Allen, I'm worried about both of them going down the stretch. Both.
Okay, good stuff there. Yeah, with Keenan, and you know, I guess that goes to show how poor he did, because I went all the way down to guys with 4 points. And Keenan Allen didn't even have that. So I guess that just goes to show he did so bad. I wasn't even able to find his name. So certainly you got worries there. 2 straight weeks of nothing after a couple of good games. This is a matchup-based business. Playing against the 49ers, I wouldn't start Keenan Allen. I don't think that's a good matchup at all. Phillip Rivers either. Josh Gordon, you have to sit him out. I mean, this week playing against Carolina, you just can't have any faith in Johnny Manziel. A.J. Green, I'm worried about too. You know, this week they got Denver at home. He's going to have Tlaib on him. And, again, it's not so much about A.J. Green as it is about Andy Dalton. And then, as Victor told you, Cincinnati wants to pound the pill. They're able to do so at such a high rate when they can have the ball so much, which they're not going to have that much against Denver. So Green may be able to make some things happen if Denver gets out to an early lead. But you got to be worried there. Denver's ranked second in the NFL against the run. And if you can't run on Denver, then you're stuck having to fight off Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware all day. So I'm worried about Green next week. Hilton is a guy I'm not worried about. Next week at Dallas, Very favorable matchup. I think he gets back on track. I just think Houston just said, after you burnt us for 224, it's not happening today. Jordy Nelson, he's going to have a huge day. I know Aaron Rodgers is going to make sure that he gets him the ball this week at home against Tampa Bay. Calvin, I'm not worried about either. They a much more favorable matchup next week at Chicago. But watch the weather. Right now, this Monday night football game, it's going to be raining profusely, so you may have a little worry there. But Chicago's defense, much worse than Minnesota's. Mike Evans, Tampa next week. Excuse me, I forget exactly who Tampa Bay plays. But, again, I think he's due for a big game. I think you have to continue to start him because of his presence in the red zone. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy I'm worried about now. You got Case Keenum coming in. Don't know what the chemistry is going to be. Don't know if Andre Johnson is playing. Ravens stout against the run. Secondary is weak, but we've seen games where their front seven has played so well. Certainly cause for teams to have trouble passing the football. Real quickly, let's move over to our tight ends. Your top five with Gronkowski, Owen Daniel with 12, Gronk had 15, Antonio Gates and Greg Olsen with 11, Delanie Walker and Travis Kelce with 9, Dwayne Allen with 7. I think all of those guys you continue to play. I don't think, obviously, Gronkowski, Olsen, all those guys, I think you're playing with confidence on a week-in and week-out basis. Let's get to the guy who didn't perform well so we could find out what you need to do with them. Larry Donald, surprise, only 1 point yesterday against the Redskins. Jordan Reed just continues to be a huge disappointment for the Redskins, 1 point yesterday. Kobe Fleener with only 3. But again, Dwayne Allen had 7, but again, Fleener had more yards. Allen got the touchdown. Julius Thomas, again, it pains me to talk about him and Calvin Johnson, the way they've just left me hanging this year. Only 3 points for him. I think he's getting blackballed myself. This is one thing I just want to say real quick. When you look at Julius Thomas, when you look at Shady McCoy, even when you look at a guy like the type of year Frank Gore is having, when you got Julius Thomas starting off the year with 9 TDs in his first 5 games, and then Peyton Manning all of a sudden stops finding him, I don't think it's on purpose. Julius Thomas is in the contract year. And when it comes down to sit down and talk with those owners, they're not trying to hear about you didn't get the ball passed your way, who, by the way, Thomas has a lot of touchdowns, but he doesn't even have over 500 receiving yards. So when they sit down for contract negotiations and they say, well, we were able to continue to move the offense without you, you only got this much yards compared to these other guys, it hurts your negotiation. It certainly hurts your negotiation. So I don't know what to expect from Julius Thomas. It just doesn't even look like Peyton Manning has any interest. He used to be when they get in the red zone. And to me, I thought they would use him. That has been a huge part of why Denver has struggled in the red zone so much lately. They used to put Thomas out on the island and throw him the fade route or the quick slant. They've stopped going to him. If you own Julius Thomas and have been lucky enough to make it to the championship round, the matchups are favorable every week, but Peyton Manning just does not seem to want to look his way. I think Kobe Fleener is the guy who can rebound again. Next week at Dallas, favorable, but remember, both Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen in the top 11 tight ends. So it's kind of week to week depending on who Andrew Luck wants to go to with the football. Victor, talk to me. Larry Donald, Jordan Reed, Kobe Fleener, Julius Thomas, who is your biggest disappointment? Who should owners be skeptical about next week?
All of the ones you mentioned, but Julius Thomas. And to let you know, Mike Evans is going against Green Bay. So Green Bay is not a slouch versus the receiver, so I might be worried there. As far as Julius Thomas and all those other guys go, listen, Denver's playing Monday night against Cincinnati. Julius is just getting back from his ankle injury. I saw them split him out one-on-one, and then they went to the jumbo side where they had 3 receivers. I think there's some validity to your point that he might be getting blackballed because he's in a contract year. Buy him low, keep him low, production is high. Jordan Reed, not expecting much from him anymore because I don't like the Redskins situation. As I said before, Dwayne Allen's back, so a little bit of that stuff Kobe Sneed was getting is now going to go away. But everybody else, yeah, I'm highly disappointed in all of those guys. I might even be disappointed tonight in Jimmy Graham, but you never know. But yes, those, all of them, I'm disappointed in. But Julius, because he probably was like the number 2, if not number 1 tight end drafted this year, and he's disappeared off the map. Sorry for those that got him like that, because I was one of them. But Julius Thomas is my answer.
I'm with you there. I think everybody has struggled with him. Vernon Davis, another guy in the contract year. You can forget about what you thought you were going to cash in on. Real quick, moving over to our defense special teams. This will be real easy to cover because there were no surprises yesterday. When I looked at all the defenses who did bad, they were defenses we expected to. Top five defenses yesterday, Ravens 23, Bills 18, Patriots 18, Kansas City 17, Cincinnati 15, the Texans 15. Just very interesting. Now, this is standard format, but I don't understand how Cincinnati, now granted, in the league I'm in, defenses get 15 points to start, or really 14. I'm not sure for the other leagues because my main focus is my family league. But I don't understand how Cincinnati can have two interceptions, three sacks, and pitch a shutout and only have 15 points. A little confusing there. Nonetheless, Victor, talk to me. Next week, Ravens, Houston, playing a backup quarterback, really a third-string quarterback. The Bills at Oakland playing a rookie quarterback in Derrick. New England going to be playing Geno Smith. Kansas City at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati's got Peyton Manning coming in town. Texans have a Ravens coming in town. Out of those defense, Ravens, Bills, Patriots, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Texans, who can owners trust and depend on again next week?
Whoever is playing Houston, because Savage is going to get crushed. There's not going to be any passing game, and the run game will be shut down. So I believe you said it's Baltimore playing Houston. So I go with Baltimore's defense if that's who's playing Houston. I see no hope for anybody on that Houston Texans offense, and that translates to positive output for the defense. That's what I got, brother.
Okay, sounds good for me. I'm going with the Bills defense. Playing rookie quarterback Derek Carr next week. I think that's just an extremely favorable matchup for your team. Real quickly rounding out our kickers, Connor Barth. Definitely going to talk about him in our next segment, 18 points. Josh Scobee with 17. Dan Carpenter, another guy we're going to talk about, with 16. Chandler Cardozano for the Cardinals had 16. Mike Nugent for the Bengals. Graham Gano for the Panthers, 14. And Ryan Succop of the Tennessee Titans with 12. My biggest disappointments of the week, Nick Novak, only 2. Steven Hauschka, only 5, even though he really could have had 8. Horrible roughing the passer call there that allowed Seattle to get that second touchdown. Adam Vinatieri, only 5. Justin Tucker, only 6. Talk to me, Victor. Any of those kickers, Novak, Hauschka, Vinatieri, Tucker, you worried about next week, or was it just caught up in the way the game flowed?
Yeah, I don't think it's just caught up in the way the game flowed. I mean, if you think about it, Hauschka's got to go against Arizona. So Seattle versus Arizona, that's a field goal game, in my opinion. Now, I don't know how Stanton's going to do versus that Seattle defense, but I will say this. There will be a lot of field goals in that game. So Costanzo, I think he's going to have plenty of opportunities to kick field goals as well. But this week, I think it was just, as you said, caught up in the flow of the game. Tucker might be a good play next week as well. And I do like the fact that Connor Barth has not missed anything since he's joined the Broncos. His issue wasn't that. His issue is kicking off. That's why he kept McManus. So he can make field goals, especially at Mile High. And I think they're going to Cleveland. I mean, to Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. But he can make the field goals. So that's always a keeper. And Prater. I would say Prater is another person that you might want to look at. Just my opinion.
Okay, nope, sounds good. I'm with you, Hauschka. And by the way, you don't want Cardozano next week because don't forget Drew Stanton is out with that MCL sprain, so it is going to be third-string quarterback. Goodness, I can't even recall the guy's name. I think that should let you know. Playing against Seattle's defense, which is division lead on the line, you already know the Seahawks are going to lock it down. They're also without Andre Ellington. They won't be able to run, won't be able to pass. So Steven Hauschka, I think, is going to be an excellent play, as you mentioned, Victor, because you know that the Cardinals' defense is going to show up nonetheless. We're going to run to a quick commercial break, come back, wrap up the show talking about our top waiver wire pickups and late-round picks, and we are getting you ready for Monday Night Football. A lot of people banking on Matt Forte, Mark Ingram, Kenny Stills, Drew Brees, Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett. Should be a big-time game. We're going to run to a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Extra Point. NFL exporter Victor Gardner. About game time is almost here. We've got Chicago and New Orleans. A lot of big-time players going to decide this one. Let's go ahead real quick, Victor, hit up our all-waiver wire team. At the quarterback position, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, both of those guys you could have picked up off the waiver wire and stuck them in as starters for your team. Ryan Tannehill, if you were able to catch him in this game, at Oakland, at Chicago, at Denver, at home against San Diego, averaged 24 points in those matchups. Joe Flacco, if you caught him at Tampa Bay, at Miami, home against Carolina, home against San Diego, averaged 25.75 points in those games. And Eli Manning, two games against Dallas, his game against Indianapolis, including yesterday's two games against Washington, 24.5 points per contest in those games. We're going to have to cut down on our analysis. So just tell me, Victor, out of those quarterbacks, who was your top waiver wire quarterback filling this year? Or it may be a player that I did not mention.
Ben Roethlisberger, of course. Big Ben. I actually drafted him. But I would say he has been the biggest shock if you got him off the waiver wire and inserted him in your lineup. Best thing going right now. And early on in the season, Big Ben, easy.
I'm with you there. I agree. Ben Roethlisberger definitely was the top waiver wire pickup at the quarterback position this year. Moving over to our running backs, Justin Forsett, currently ranked 8th, Lamar Miller, 13th, Mark Ingram, 12th, Jeremy Hill, he's going to move up a bit. This was coming into this week. He was at 15. C.J. Anderson was at 16. Ahmad Bradshaw, even though he's been out about 4 or 5 games, holding steady at 17. And then if you were able to catch them on the right weeks, Isaiah Crowell, Brandon Oliver out in San Diego, and Ronnie Hillman for the Broncos before he was injured. My top waiver wire pickups this year, I've got a couple guys. Justin Forsett, over 1,000 yards. 8 TDs. He's been a great number two running back for you. Mark Ingram, without question, balled out a lot of games. Jeremy Hill, I tell you, man, this guy, every game that he's balled out this year, I've been able to have him in my lineup. You love Jeremy Hill right now. Before yesterday's game, had 930 all-purpose yards and 6 TDs. C.J. Anderson came into yesterday's game with over 800 all-purpose yards and 6 TDs. Talk to me, Victor. Forsett, Lamar Miller, Mark Ingram, Jeremy Hill, C.J. Anderson, Ahmad Bradshaw, Isaiah Crowell, Brandon Oliver, and Ronnie Hillman. Which one of those guys were your top? Give me two of them, your top waiver wire pickups at the running back position this year.
Well, it's very simple. You mentioned them already. It's got to be Forsett because everybody figured that Pierman was going to come in for Ray Rice to take over and do things, and he didn't do it. He actually lost his job and went to the third string behind Talaferro. But obviously, it's got to be C.J. Anderson up in there as well because Anderson has been able to be the third running back. And he's gone for 714 scrimmage yards going into yesterday. So he's roughly at 800, almost 900 yards in since week 10. Let's look at that. Since week 10, 712 scrimmage yards. And the guy can ball. He runs really well. I mean, next year is going to be a heck of a situation in the Denver backfield. You don't want to even draft a running back for Denver because you don't know who's going to be the starter. Will it be Monty Ball? Will it be C.J. Anderson? Will it be Hillman? You just don't know. So I think those two are the biggest surprises thus far for the fantasy season off the waiver wire. Because I know a lot of people drafted Jeremy Hill because we just figured he was going to get a lot of touches once the law firm got cut. So Those are my two, Forsett and Anderson.
I'm with you there. And for all the above, I mean, that is the beauty. If you do lose the first couple of weeks or you lose on the right week, like you said, if you had Justin Forsett, Mark Ingram, Jeremy Hill, C.J. Anderson, man, you have got your backfield looking good. Moving over to the wide receiver position this year. And you know what? I apologize. I had to flip that over. Taking a look at your top wide receiver pickups off the waiver wires, this was all about the rookies this year. Calvin Benjamin, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Evans, Kenny Stills, Josh Gordon, even though Gordon's been a bit shaky. So I'm gonna wait to see how his season shakes out. But those guys, those rookie wide receivers, if you caught Sammy Watkins in the right week, those rookie wide receivers really balled out and performed well for you. Victor, talk to me. Who have been your standouts, top waiver wire pickups at the wide receiver position?
I'll be honest with you. It's been Matthews from Philly. Since Mark Sanchez has been the quarterback, he has become a very, very tough and top wide receiver. Go along with that, a guy like Kenny Stills, who is a flash in the pan here and there, but when he gets the ball, he balls. If we're talking about waiver wire fodder, those two are very, very accessible to me. Another person I would look at is Brandon LaFell. You know, he might not have done as much as the others have, but he gave you several solid weeks, becomes dependable. He's a victim of the system. So, you know, he doesn't really get the ball that much. But I think those are the three guys that I can say off of the waiver wire that surprised me a lot this year. And Devin Hester.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. I completely forgot about LaFell. He's definitely a guy who's been able to step in and help my lineup a lot. Moving over to tight ends now, Kobe Fleener, currently ranked 7th, Delanie Walker, 8th, Travis Kelce, 9th, Larry Donald, 10th, Dwayne Allen, 11th, Keith Miller, 12th. For me, I think without question, I've got to go with Travis Kelce. And another guy I'm leaving off, he was drafted mostly in late rounds. Some people were able to grab Martellus Bennett. So for me, it would be Bennett, Travis Kelce, as well as Dwayne Allen. What about you, Victor? Who are your top tight end waiver wire pickup this year?
You know, Kelce was doing well in the preseason, so I think a lot of people forgot about him. You know, they figured that Alex Smith wasn't going to get him the ball, but Kelce is one of those guys. Delanie Walker, again, I keep talking about it because of the master plan, or JT, he would say it a lot. You know, Delanie Walker is a guy you need to look out for. And he's proven them right because of where they're at and what they're doing in Tennessee. He's their number one guy. Disappointment, I say Zach Ertz, maybe, and some other players like that. But if we're going to talk about big-time performances off the waiver wire, let's look at a team like just escaped my daggone brain that quick. I got to come back to you because it just left me. I'm sorry, brother. Other than what I already said, I can't remember anything else. I apologize.
No problem at all. And what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you join us next week. We're going to, at that point, our top late round in value picks. Just to round it out real quick, I think your top waiver wire pickups for defenses are Philadelphia defense special teams currently came into this week. I should have ranked 2nd. And the St. Louis Rams got up to a very slow start. In their first 7 weeks, had 2 games with negative 2 points. 3 games with 4 or less points, but since week 9 at San Francisco, they have been averaging 15.6 points per contest. Also, the Minnesota Vikings defense, 15.2 points per game in 5 out of their last 7. Moving over to the kickers, we did not know who the kicker was in Philly coming into the season. Cody Parkey, currently ranked 3rd. How about Dan Carpenter for the Bills, currently ranked 8th? Sean Swisham of the Steelers, ranked 10th. Along with Caleb Sturgis, and as of late, again, Connor Barth, double digits per game, his last 4 games out for the Denver Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for the day. I am the NFL Exporter. Make sure you join me next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Mr. FSP Victor Gardner, along with the NFL Exporter. Best of luck to you in your fantasy football matchups. We are signing out 1100. Make sure you are with us on the master plan this upcoming Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And here we are. It all comes down to this. Tied ball game, no time left on the clock. With one more point, they'll pull out the win. Here's the snap. Holder puts it down. The kick is up. And the extra point is good. The NFL exporter has done it again.